Before we get into this week's show, two quick things. First is that there is a little bit of static throughout the podcast because of my headset. My headset is broken. I have ordered a new one, so that will be fixed. The static, you know, really isn't too much of a nuisance. You should be able to hear the podcast pretty clearly. It really just sounds like there's like a fan on in the background. And the second thing is that we weren't able to get the interview done with Coach Dose this week. Hopefully we'll have it for you next week, or maybe even we'll put it up midweek, like on Wednesday or Thursday. But other than that, we still have a great show with Mike Robertson. This is probably one of the better shows we've done in a while. It's pretty entertaining. We had a pretty good time, and I hope you guys have a great time as well. And here it is. This is the episode 162. Take care, everyone. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 162. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and with me this week is Jonathan Fast of AcceleratedStrength.com. What's up, John?
Yo, what up, Kevin?
And we also have from the bed, Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Something really bad.
What up, Kevin?
What's up, Lee? And, I'm a little flustered. All right. Big deep breath. And we got Mike Robertson of RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. What's up, Mike?
Nothing, man. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, it's snowing outside. We got like a good foot of snow here in Massachusetts. Good foot. It's still going, too. So we're inside today to record the show. First thing, I'm going to give you guys a heads up that later on the show, we're going to be talking with Coach Dos Remedios about his new book, Cardio Strength Training, which if you haven't picked up, you should. It's on Amazon. You can get it in all those good places. It's like $12. Good. No. And what's that, Lee?
Good stuff. I read it. I liked it. Just wanted to throw out my support.
Do you want to read an excerpt?
No.
Okay. next is... I mean, after you pulled out that voice, I was going to see if I could get you to read some. Next up, we have... next up, quick heads up that Tom Venuto and Adam Campbell will be coming on the show in the next 2 weeks. Adam is really busy, so we're trying to... we're hoping that, you know, the stars align so we can get him on the show. But he's going to be on to talk... Lots of new books coming up. He's going to be coming on to talk about his new book, which I have next to me, The Men's Health Big Book of Exercises, which is, yeah, it's big. It's
all over the bookstores, man.
What's that?
It's all over the bookstores. Every time I walk in a bookstore, it's prominently, yeah, prominently.
Dude,
displayed.
Men's Health, man, that's a, you know, they got lots of magazines. Yeah, and there's totally a dude with his shirt off, which I thought that was for the female version, but it's for the dudes. The dude in just jeans. Got that whole thumb in his pockets thing going, which you know, it works. And again, Tom Venuto, it's a new year, so I mean, we're gonna have Tom Venuto on to talk about fat loss. He's got some cool stuff going on at Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, so we're going to talk to him as well, probably Tom before Adam. So if you want to start sending those questions to questions@thefitcast.com, or if you're subscribing to the newsletter, I'm going to send out a newsletter where you can get questions for that. Video from Mike Bull Strength and Conditioning New Year's Day circuit is up on YouTube if people want to check that out. It's just a circuit I did with Dave Rack, who is who I'm saying his last name right, who is he's currently at UMass Lowell, but he also works at Boyle's. Dude's 20, he's not even 21, and he's already you know, working part-time at Boyle's while in college, and he did an internship last year. Really bright kid, and you know, it's actually a pretty good baseball player from what I've been told. So there's that, and then a two-part thing. First off, a Destination Abs confession. We'll probably talk about this in the blog post for the most part, but Kevin did some slipping a little bit of slipping, so I don't know if we should comment on that now or not.
Yeah, you can own up to what you want to own up to, Kevin.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, we had the 4-day refeed, and I kind of turned it into like a 4-day refeed, then one day good, then another, you know, day that was not so good, and then a good day, then another day that was not so good. So it was kind of like a six and 8-day kind of a thing, which, you know, kind of, I kind of talked about this with Lee through email, but, you know, it's just like one of those things, you know, you're going out a lot, you're going out to, you know, there's parties all over the place, there's food all over the place, and, you know, it was just, you know, it's easy to rationalize, and I can see how, you know, it just helps me kind of get an idea even more from where my clients are coming from, but, you know, it's not just as easy as saying, you know, nope, not going to do it, because, you know, you do have, like, there's, with family, like, you're always in a, you know, a happy state because there's people all around, and, you know, I had pretty much the whole week off from work. I just only had a couple personal training clients, but that is, you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But, you know, back on track, we're going to kind of change things up a little bit starting on Monday, and we'll probably have some stuff for you guys on Wednesday for that. But the good thing is I'm not fat bastard state. I haven't done that, and nor do I have a Scottish accent. So that's two. That's two for me that I'm going to take home. But I guess that's it, Lee, right?
Yeah, for now.
Okay. And I've also, you know, had to make up for it in other ways. No, I've been chilling all day. I can't make jokes today. I'm going to have some penance for it, but like, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I could go on a lemon cleanse diet. I could totally do that.
Yeah, you could have most females' reactions and
just lemons. You know, pancake syrup.
Yep, syrup.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love me some syrup. I had some syrup last week. God, that's a good word. I like that word.
That was so scary.
What's that? I swear it's from something. It's from like a. It's from, you know, this is off topic, but one of the most underrated shows ever, In Living Color. That show was fantastic. And like,
it's not that it was underrated, it's just old.
Yeah, it's just, it is. It's old, you know? And like, man, they had some reruns on that and like Handyman. Like, that's one of the best characters ever. And Damon Wayans used to do it. And same thing with Jim Carrey. I know Jim Carrey makes horrible movies. And syrup. Where did I get that from? I don't know. It was from some stand-up, I think. Anyways, this is a fitness and nutrition show. What up, Lee?
Not much. Let's see. I am putting together the finishing touches of my membership site thing for theleaphill.com. And that'll be out by the 13th. And so instead of it being just the Body by Eats, it's just going to be for the whole site, and everybody can access it, and so help, support, etc. And then there's going to be a challenge. That's the last challenge just ended, and it did really good. It was only 6 weeks, but there was like over 200 pounds lost all total with everyone. For
awesome.
The challenge, yeah. And we're gonna do another one, and we're gonna do it for 12 weeks, and you know, there's gonna be a prize and logs and all that kind of stuff. So that's basically the big news, I guess. That, and I'm doing my best of 2009 post, which will be up tomorrow. And I have all, you know, that you all make an appearance in some way, shape, or form.
Nice.
That's a little preview. Yeah, best of 2009. Mm-hmm. So that's what's up, Kevin.
I'm slacking. I don't have a best of 2009 post. Maybe I need to have one. Everybody
that,
else
man.
Has.
I don't even know if I had a 2009 post.
Yeah, I don't know if you did either. Yeah, you should do like a best of, and it would just be the 10 posts that you did write in 2009.
Right.
No, that's being nice, Mike.
Yeah, this is true. They're like crickets chirping when you go to his blog.
Yep.
Such a shame.
You should totally do that, dude. You get some HTML, so every time you show up to the site, it's just cricket. Okay. I'll do that for you.
Awesome.
Yep. And in a special, what up, Mike? Mike, what's up? What's been going on at Robertson Training Systems?
nothing, man. You know, just trying to keep things rolling and not piss too many people off along the way. Although I have a tendency to do that, but you know, it's how it is, man.
Just blogging away.
Yeah, blogging away.
That's a good blog post about blogging.
Yes.
Blogging about blogging.
Yeah, I got one guy is really pissed off. He was angry and writing me at whatever, I don't know, like midnight last night and then at like 6 a.m. this morning. But
what was the issue?
The issue was...
How did you have an issue with that blog post?
Because he couldn't understand why people blogged.
He
couldn't understand why people blogged, and he thought that people who blogged just did that because they didn't have any other way to like prove themselves as experts within the industry. What? And he's like, oh, well, you know, so what if you write for Men's Health? I'm like, okay, like, what do you want me to say? Like, you can come to my gym, you can go to a seminar I talk at, like, you know, blogging isn't the only thing that I do. You know,
yeah,
look around my site. I got a few things going on.
You're fake, Mike. You're just a fake.
I know.
You're just a blogger. I mean, screw all that, like, you know, evidence.
That's right.
We're not buying it.
That's right. Screw the fact that I actually run a gym and train people for a living, you know.
So what you're saying is you're basically that dude in South Park who's playing World of Warcraft, slouched over one side of the chair with Pringles on his chest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nice. I mean, I own World of Warcraft. What's your game?
Those are good. I've never played that. For someone that plays video games, I've never touched that game. Probably the best.
Night Mohawk.
It's a night elf game? Mohawk. That's right. Hey, whoever thought, let's get Mr. T out of retirement and have him do our commercials? Genius.
He's dead serious, dude. He plays the crap out of that game.
Does he really?
Yeah. It's like,
oh,
there was
hilarious.
A whole article on, I think it was Wired Magazine, did a whole article on like celebrities that play video games, and it was this whole thing. Like, he literally plays like 30 plus hours a week of that.
Really?
Dude's got nothing to do.
The biggest dude in our gym, I kid you not, I mean, at like 242, this guy's squatting, you know, maybe like low five or high fives, low sixes, raw, deadlifting like 675 raw, like just a belt. This guy is like the hugest gamer ever. He's like, yeah. He's like, dude, if I didn't have my kid, I'd just play World of Warcraft all day. He's like, I love it. I'm like, dude, you're like the biggest, strongest dude in this gym. And yeah, that's his hobby. He just wants to play World of Warcraft. So,
yeah, thanks for breaking the stereotype. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm afraid to post, you know, you have like, we have listeners to this show, and like, you want to, one way of connecting the fans is like posting stuff on Facebook. And I want to be like, yeah, man, totally hanging out with Tony Yayo, shooting some dudes in like fake, you know, Eastern country with 50 Cent, and I'd feel like, you know, some people, like more or less my mentors, would look at that and be like, dude, that kid's playing video games. He should be opening up a book or something. I'm like, no, that's like that's my relax. I don't watch, you know, what was Jersey Shore. Like, I haven't been watching Jersey Shore. I don't watch reality TV. I like, you know, sometimes I like popping in, you know, a little bit of, you know, 50 Cent blood in the sand and just relaxing and just throwing up obscenities all over the place and shooting dudes in the face. And I'm glad at least I have Mike. I got you on my side. Like,
yeah.
Know.
Hey, man, I can understand if you're like 40 or 50, 60, you know, and you've been in the industry. Yeah. You don't understand, but like, I mean, I grew up with video games, like Super Mario Brothers. I remember getting that for Christmas when I was like 10 years old. So it's like, that's one of the few times I don't think about work or articles or blogging or whatnot. So yeah, I'm all for it, man.
It's all about immersion. That's,
we all need a hobby.
Yeah, totally. Actually, I might start collecting coins. That's what I've been looking into lately, but
yeah,
I think it, you know, it's an expensive hobby to get into.
You take it a coin.
Little robot chicken for you.
I'm gonna let you hang on that, John.
Super Mario Brothers. You didn't see that robot chicken with Super Mario Brothers?
Oh, the Grand Theft Auto thing.
Yeah, exactly. See, I was piecing that whole conversation together in one simple statement.
All right. You know, we're not even gonna take a break. We're gonna go right into the mailbag.
30 minutes. before the mailbag, the hate mail is going to be crazy this week.
Oh, dude, it's going to be epic hate mail.
Yes.
The first email that we have comes to us from Neil from Somerset in the UK. It says, I am 49-year-old dura-athlete and compete regularly. For the past 2 to 3 years, I have been having a recurring soleus injury on my right leg. Previous to training for duathlon, I spent about 6 years doing most of my training on an indoor rower as I competed in 2K rowing events. John, you want to read this question? I can't read today.
No, I'm
like 3 hours of sleep, so.
No, I'm actually enjoying you read this.
Okay.
Please continue.
My physios treat the problem that I have had regular sports massage, but the problem keeps coming back every few months, even though my training follows a very structured path. Does John have any idea what could be the issue, as I feel that perhaps there are some compensations happening that may be causing the soleus to be overused and become injured? Many thanks for your help. And again, that's from Neil from Somerset in UK. And John, screw you. We're going to give this to Mike.
Awesome.
Ooh.
I've got a really good idea. And the first thing I would say is this guy needs to get his hips checked out. First and foremost, because a lot of like the lower extremity issues that we see at the gym, because believe it or not, we have quite a few runners that have come to us because, believe it or not, they have some sort of issue, whether it's a hip, a knee, a calf injury, plantar fasciitis, and almost, you know, across the board, they have some sort of hip issue. In fact, one of the guys that we're working with now to get ready for the Indy Mini Marathon came to us, and if you could imagine, his entire pelvis and his hips were shifted to the right, and he kept straining his right calf repetitively. Like, anytime he would go out and run, and he came in one time, and his calf was literally about double the size because it was so swollen and inflamed. So that would be the first thing I would really be looking at. You know, the hips, what kind of issues he's got going on, whether it's a psoas issue, a glute med issue. I'd really be focusing on some of the smaller hip muscles. And then it sounds like he's on the right path as far as the soft tissue work goes. You've got to deal with the soft tissue restrictions that are present. You got to work to get those loosened up. But until he addresses the main issue, which it sounds like could be related to his hips, he's never going to get a long-term solution to his problem.
And, you know, also just a quick side note, and John, feel free to jump on this as well. But, you know, and one of my clients that I have is actually a rower, and she's had severe hip alignment issues. And again, you know, one thing I'm going to ask you guys is that, you know, is this something that you see a lot in rowers, or is it just in women in general? Just having those hips being misaligned?
I think it's something you're going to see almost across the board, regardless of sport. You know, it's going to be really bad. I mean, think about a rower, how symmetrical they should be for the most part. And then, you know, if you put an asymmetry on top of something that should be symmetrical and then you load it repetitively, you're probably going to have issues. But, I mean, it's almost across the board where you see some sort of asymmetry or compensation that, you know, again, you know, it wouldn't bother you if you did it, if you went out and ran 1 mile one time. But, you know, if you're, you know, rowing 2,000 meters every single day, or if you're running 5-10 miles every day.
That's,
you know,
just those, like my client.
It's those low threshold repetitive stress injuries that build up. You know, everybody thinks about, you know, the major blowout. Oh, I hurt my back deadlifting or whatnot. But, you know, people fail to recognize all those little repetitive injuries, you know, build up over time. Just because it doesn't hurt you the first time you go out and run doesn't mean it's not going to a month or a year down the line. So just my 2 cents on that.
Johnny boy?
I'm just going to throw in agreement to all of that. Although, and I think that that's the sort of thing, I mean, I think a lot of times on when people analyze their own injuries or whatever, they start going for these like crazy outlandish answers first. But there is a place for those types of answers, and when you've been treated repeatedly, when things continue to come back up, then you have to start looking at, you know, up the chain, mechanically speaking. You know, if you're treated properly, then in theory that problem should go away. So if it keeps coming back and back and back, then you're not getting at the true cause of what's going on. The soleus in general is responsible for ankle stability when you're making foot contact, and if it's being overworked, which is what a repeated type of strain pathology would be, then something else isn't doing its job. So you start looking around that chain and seeing where's the weakness coming from, what happened to the mechanics. The other thing that I would recommend is having someone actually evaluate your mechanics, like an actual running evaluation, because that could probably be helpful too. So otherwise, yep, everything Mike said.
Very good. Lee, do you mind that? I don't know, Lee, do you have the LI?
Yeah, no. Well, I think I do. It's the next question from Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah, you gotta say A a lot. You gotta add them in.
Yeah, no, I can't do a Canadian
accent. Boot.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Because
okay.
I'm Canadian, actually. I should probably read this because supposedly.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Canadian.
Aren't you accused of being Canadian?
Yeah, but I gotta get my box so I can stand up.
Do you want me to read it or not?
Please, I'm gonna mute myself.
Okay. Hi, Fitcast gang. I am a 47-year-old male and I've been barbell strength training for about 8 months. I often have minor strains or tweaks of my left shoulder muscles while lifting. Nothing serious. It doesn't stop my workout and the soreness that is usually gone by the next day. My workouts usually start with squats and sometimes my left shoulder while feel strained afterwards. Sometimes the strain will develop during pull-ups, presses, or benches. I will often also develop some soreness in my left upper arm around the elbow during pull-ups, presses, or benches, and almost always during power cleans. I've noticed that when I do overhead presses or pull-ups, I have my left shoulder shrugged up higher than my right shoulder, especially as I tire. To keep my hands at the same level, my left upper arm compensates for the higher shoulder by being a bit more horizontal than my right. I've been told that I have a left shoulder shrugged up during benches. Any ideas? Oh, wait, sorry. I've never had any shoulder injuries, but there seems to be some kind of imbalance or weakness there. My left shoulder is more flexible than my right. Reaching my arms up in my back, I can bring my left hand well up between my shoulder blades, but I can only touch the middle of my left scapula with my right hand. Any ideas what the problem could be or what could be done to correct it? Can you suggest any tests or resources for self-assessment? Is there something that could lead to a more serious problem than minor discomfort that I have now? If I were to go see someone about this, what kind of expert or specialist should I look for? Thanks, Steve, Toronto, Ontario.
Some guy, what's his name? Like Mike
Robertson?
Is it Robertson? Robeson? Something like
Robeson.
That?
Robeson.
Is it Robeson?
Robinson. Yeah.
I think he's in Ohio or something. has a couple products that you could give him a look. I don't know if they're any good, but
I wouldn't mess with that guy.
Yeah. So self-assessment stuff. I mean, that's probably as good as it's going to get. The you know, inside out and all that stuff is really, really good resources. So check out what Mike's got on his website because some of that could be helpful. You unknowingly did a special test for us, and it's showing that there is an internal rotation deficit most likely occurring there, which can be caused by issues in the rotator cuff and impingement type of issues. One special test does not tell you exactly what's going on, but obviously there's something going on. The upper trap shrugging kind of position is a guarding position that you'll see often, and you're trying to compensate for things that are hurting by changing the overall position of your shoulder so that those movements will no longer hurt. So it sounds like something's going on there. And I would definitely want to check that out and make sure that there's nothing serious there and that you're not causing further damage every time you're working out. And that would be, you know, physical therapist, an orthopedist, whatever. And then at that point, you know, taking the steps to fix the mechanics and strengthen the things that are weak and lengthen the things that are short around the shoulder is your next bet. And that's basically it.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, I mean, you really need something to be evaluated. You can't really say like, oh, of course, that sounds like you've got a strain of, you know, I mean, you've really got to take that, have that looked at. There could be a number of reasons why you're feeling pain by the elbow, or you're feeling, you know, your trap is shrugged. So overall, like, specific advice isn't really, I mean, I don't know, strengthen their trap, your mid and low traps. I mean, that's kind of standard for everybody, but it's not going to tell you exactly what's going on or what specifically you need to do to fix it. But hopefully,
and as always, you know, you should see a, you know, professional. Yeah. Just suggestions, yada yada.
Right.
Liability.
So and you know, the thing is with any kind of pain issue, it could be something very simple or something not as simple. It sounds like you're probably okay for the time being if you are still able to work out with just minor soreness afterwards. But you want to get that checked out before it possibly becomes more serious.
Very good. Let's go to the next question that we have. And this is from the Destination Abs podcast we did a couple weeks ago, so she's not necessarily dissing you, John. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't want you to feel left out.
Right.
Hey, Kevin and Lee, quick question. Lee has stated in the past that sometimes you need to build more muscle mass for abdominals. We know that crunches and lumbar flexion might be harmful for health of your spine. What exercises are the best and the safest to build muscle mass for abs? Thanks. I'm going to try this. I'm going to say Yoni from Helsinki, Finland.
All right. Yoni. First, I want to make it clear that I've never talked about classic sit-ups or crunches in regards to direct core work. And I've gotten recently some comments on that. So I just want to make that clear that whenever I talk about direct ab work, I'm not talking about doing like classic, you know, sit-ups. I mean, when you look at a classic sit-up in most crunches, it usually hits the hip flexors, usually roughly above 30 degrees. It's like all hip flexors. Same can be seen with like Roman chair leg lifts and things like that. And most general work that we think of when training the abs very rarely does anything for that anyway. So crunches is a very broad spectrum term, and you know, anything from a vendor ball to those random like S&M devices that I'm seeing in a gym lately. So it's, you know, I just want to kind of throw that out. The discussion of lumbar flexing, I mean, it's an interesting one, and I'm curious to see what John or Mike would have to say and jump in on this, but from what I understand, the core argument seems to be fatigue of your spinal disc, and basically more bending and excessive use equals bad and slowly depleting of your spinal support. And I know this is a big focus with McGill's work that I've read, and you know, lower back pain is usually contributed to, you know, excess spinal usage. Flex spines all day mixed with flexing in the gym equals bad. More wear for the tear, not needed. So, you know, there's an opposing view as far as the repetitive like flexion issue is concerned. There was a recent study that came out about spinal mechanical load as a risk factor for low back pain, a systematic review of prospective cohort studies. And it found strong evidence that leisure or time supporter exercises, sitting and prolonged standing walking, is not associated with lower back pain. Heavy physical work and working with one trunks in a bent or twisted position with lower back pain problems is conflicting. So, you know, is constant flexion the only issue? Is it the whole story? Is it a combination of various things? Like, I tend to believe that if you're a healthy individual, you can stand for some flexion. And obviously, if you look at things like wood chops or, you know, cable crunches, there's going to be flexion used. Is that all bad? I don't think that it's bad if you use it with other core work like rollouts, plank variations, side plank rows, weighted push-ups, all things like that. I think that you can implement some flexion work. And again, it's if needed. We're talking about aesthetics. I'm not talking about athletics. Those are two completely different things. So I think that you have to look at your means. But if you want to go with what is just safe work, I think that wood chops, I think vested rollouts, I think standing bar Russian twist versus like ground work, Again, plank variation, side plank rows. People forget how much push-ups can really affect abdominal work, especially weighted. There is McGill crunches, which is a variation of a crunch where there's no flexed lumbar spine. You can Google YouTube that and find demonstrations of that. And then I do like cable crunches versus ground crunches. I believe that you can add an overload and focus a little bit more on the direct abdominal work versus, you know, firing hip flexors and things like that. So that's my take on it. It's a little outside the box sometimes from what others feel. And I'm curious as to what Mike or John has to say on the issue. But that's kind of where I come from. And I think it's a need situation on what you're desiring for aesthetics versus athletics. And if some people say that any sort of crunch is bad, as, you know, others don't. So, yeah, I'm curious, John or Mike, if you want to jump in on that.
Go for it, John.
You threw me under. Yeah, I mean, the McGill crunch is kind of modified. Really looking at – this is the kind of thing where it gets a little bit overboard in terms of what you're supposed to do with the lumbar spine. Yeah. Immobility is just as bad as too much mobility. Yeah. The problem is that people overutilize spine motion, lumbar spine motion, and things like lifting and bending. That's really where we get into the problems. As far as just – normal bending, the lumbar spine needs to move. So the question is not about should we be bending or moving around and utilizing lumbar spine in that motion. It's how much lumbar spine, you know, flexion is safe when we're picking something up, and that's where it gets into the idea of increased pressures of the disc. It's not necessarily, I mean, just like you pointed out, though, with that research, we don't really understand the issues of back pain. We have some evidence that suggests this, some evidence that suggests that. There are so many things that can go wrong with the low back that you can't have a one-size-fits-all kind of approach to it in terms of, like, preventative strategies. But in general, there's so much that's involved in keeping the low back healthy that we believe that any individual exercise or whatever probably isn't going to be the only thing that causes injury if that's what occurs. Having said that, in general, I tend to avoid kind of like going on those recommendations by McGill. I mean, I'm not trying to lift with a flexed spine, and that includes ab exercises. But when we're working with, say, like the McGill crunch, which is really utilizing the thoracic spine more than any lumbar motion, that's probably a lot safer. And then the stability type of stuff, rotational, you know, whatever. But it's really the combination of movements of rotation and flexion and loaded. Those appear to be the worst.
Yeah, I think, you know, you make some great points. And if you've read my blog or any of the articles that I've written, I'm a pretty big believer. For the most part, we should be training stability. One of the big issues that I have with just like crunching patterns in general is that we fail to look at – we get so caught up in just looking at the lumbar spine, we forget to look at kind of across the board how it affects us. And you see so many people that are overly kyphotic. Their T-spine position is horrible, and then you lay 1,000 crunches a day on top of that. And you wonder why, you know, their posture's horrible, their shoulders hurt, and all that other good stuff. So I think anytime you're going to think about incorporating a set of exercises into your programming, you got to look not only at the big picture, what are your goals, but, you know, what kind of detriments are there going to be if you start incorporating stuff in your programming? And that's something I tell anybody. If you're going to put, single leg work into your programming, what are you hoping to get out of it? And what are you going to lose by putting single leg work in your programming? Same thing with squats. If you're going to take squats out, you know, what are you going to gain from that? And what are you going to, you know, lose in your programming from that? And if you start looking at it like that, I think you have a lot better idea of, you know, the pros and cons of any sort of exercise medium, if you will.
Jonathan,
all right. Next question. Yeah, next question. Hello, FitCast people. Listening to an older podcast right now. Anyways,
the question I wanted to ask was, why do all licensed massage therapists seem to be so anti-foam roller? I have trained several massage therapists, and they all refuse to have anything to do with the roller and then begin to spout off about how much it sucks. I understand it does not replace what a licensed massage therapist can do, but why do they get so up in arms about it? Thanks a ton, everybody. P.S. starting to read Lee's Metabolic Repair Manual and already have gleaned some great ideas for my clients. Thanks, Lee.
I'm really glad that you said what LMT was, because I was sitting here not knowing what that meant. Like, LMT, what is that? Like, I couldn't figure it out. They're just jealous of the foam roller. It's coming after their job is what it is. I'm so kidding. That's not the answer.
It's like the electronic car and the gas companies.
I don't know. I've met a couple of massage therapists that weren't any better than foam rollers, so I don't say that to be rude, but
wow.
There goes the massage therapist crowd that we just lost.
There's hate mail. Good job.
I'll be totally honest. Yeah, they can come after me. It's fine.
That's because robertsontrainingsystems.com.
You can email me at – no, seriously. In all honesty, when I moved down to Indianapolis, I probably tried 11 massage therapists before I settled on one that I really liked. You know, and one of the issues that I have with kind of massage therapy as a whole is there is such a broad spectrum of not only like education processes, but like certification. You know, there are plenty of people out there that are practicing quote unquote massage that don't have much of a formal degree. They don't really have much hands-on training. And so, to be frank, they're not very good. So, yeah, I mean, somebody that's not very good and you're saying, look, I can use this tool and it gives me about what you do. Why should I use you? Those people are going to be threatened, I guess. Whereas I've found a lot of the better massage therapists in the field, people that I've talked to, you know, they're kind of pragmatic about it. Is a foam roller the solution to everything? Absolutely not. Can it give you some short-term benefits, and can it supplement a quality soft tissue program? Absolutely. And it comes down to what are you hoping to get out of it? You know, if you think a foam roller is going to solve every little ache or pain you've had for the last 40 years of your life, you're wrong. But can it help reduce stiffness and prepare you for a workout? Yes. Can it give you some short-term benefits in between therapy sessions? Yes. But again, it comes down to, you know, a lot of people want to take these really black and white, you know, stances on things. And almost everything has a role. You just have to determine, you know, where it needs to be used, how to use it effectively, and, you know, kind of putting that all into your idea of your goals and what you want to get out of training. So, sorry if that's a little bit of a rant, but, you know, people that are black and white on things like to stir up controversy, or they're really angry about something, versus being able to take a step back and think, nah, I can see both sides of it. Here's where it would be good. Here's where it would be bad.
Okay. Yeah, I think that covered it pretty well. Yeah. I mean, I think that any manually trained, you know, practitioner, you know, health practitioner, whatever, especially when you – and this is completely just a throw out there, but when you first get out of school or whatever, you're kind of brainwashed into what you're trained as, and then as you get a little further into your career, you tend to start to see the benefits, just like Mike said, about things. So it's possible that that may also be a piece of it. You know, how much Kool-Aid are you drinking? You know, because I've certainly, you know, because I mean, I've met massage therapists or read things, or I mean, they're claiming to cure everything, and then I've read things where they're saying, no, we can treat soft tissue, we can't treat injury necessarily. You know, I mean, you have to kind of look at who you're talking to also. So just like Mike said, you know we believe that foam rollers can be beneficial in certain issues for certain things, but it's the same thing, like you'll read someone saying foam roll everything can be cured, and by foam rollers, I mean anything. Any extreme position is usually missing at least one or two details. So, same thing goes for a massage therapist, a physical therapist, whatever. If you don't believe in the tool, just don't use it. But you don't have any evidence. Honestly, there's no evidence to suggest that it works, and there's no evidence to suggest that it doesn't work.
Right.
So you might as well use it, because the only information that we have to go on is expert opinion and possibly a few case studies that actually haven't been done, so that's not even true.
Well, and John, I think you could probably back me up a little bit on this, because you are ART certified.
Mm-hmm.
You know what ART can do. A foam roller, I mean, think about it. It's a blunt object, okay? It can only do so much. It can't do what a person's thumb can do. Mm-hmm. It can't, take a VL and take it off an IT band and get it to relax.
Right.
It has limitations. But it's got things that a lot of people think, well, there are benefits to it. Again, it comes down to pros and cons. A big pro of a foam roller, it's freaking $20. You know what I mean? It's like something that a lot of lay people can use that may not have 60 or 80 or 100 bucks to go get a massage therapist to work on them. Almost everybody can afford a foam roller. So it's just one of those things where it gets me frustrated, because people want to be black and white. They want to have their way or the highway, versus just taking a step back and trying to figure out, okay, how could I use this as a part of my entire training program? So,
yep.
Ranto.
I'm gonna jump ahead to a question from Gary D. Just to even things out a little bit. I like that name, Gary D.
Gary D.
What up, Gary? Say hi to Fitty for me. Hello, I'm writing in regards to episode 142. It's like 20 episodes ago. In particular, the answers given to the questions about question about vegans. I've been vegan for a little over 2 years. I am extremely active. I work out 5 times a week, mainly weight training. I get a lot of cardio in all throughout the day because my job requires hiking. I noticed a little bit of misinformation during the podcast. The idea of humane meat was brought up. A lot of the terms around the idea, such as, quote, free range and, quote, grass-fed and local, do not have a legal definition. Most of the time, people are paying at least twice as much for these products, and they still come from similar conditions as factory farms. The need for supplementation on a vegan diet was also brought up. This is just false, based on a misconception that originates from the 1800s. I can attest from my personal experience that you can excel and make huge gains in the gym while being vegan. I could go on, but I want to focus on getting you guys good information about vegans so you can answer your listeners truthfully. Dr. Michael Greger, Dr. Colin T. Campbell, Dr. Cadwell Assessed, I probably said that incorrectly. Dr. Milton Mills, these are a good start. They all show the effects of meat consumption on humans. Thank you, and I'd like to hear from you guys, Gary D. And also, I'll try to remember to bring this up with Dose as well, as he is a vegan.
Okay.
What up, buddy?
What up, Kevin? All right. First, I want to state that time and again, I have given support to vegan and vegetarians for the decisions. I was vegetarian for ethical reasons, and I could very likely be so again in the future. For now, I'm not. But I'm not one of those people who wear a meat is tasty murder shirt. That's not my agenda. I'm not one of those, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not one of those kind of people, which is fine if you are, but that's not really my thing. So just wanted to kind of get that out of the way. I don't have any sort of like hate towards vegan or vegetarians.
No gun rack in the back of the car.
No. I don't need to read the various many doctors' books and their views on the research, because I've read the research myself, and I highly recommend you doing the same if you're going to have an argument on these points. And if we can just go off track for a moment, one of my biggest pet peeves / word to the wise is, if you want to argue a point of a book which is based on research, don't bring up the argument to the table unless you have read the research itself. I'm not saying that you can't take your healthy living cues from a source that you have selected to trust and then appeal to an authority. This isn't about that. Obviously, there are certain things in life we choose to appeal to authority to, and we hope we make the right decision, i.e. me and anything that has to do with a car or a mechanic or anything like that. I appeal to an authority. I have really no idea. What irritates me is writing into a show and stating, so-and-so said I was wrong, and neater, my guru is better than you. While it might seem like you have the upper hand because you have five doctors in your pocket and many books and aces in the hole, I look at it as you have just read the cliff notes of what I've been reading. So as to the research, and I've said it before regarding research, meat eaters is conflicting across the board, or put in another way, nothing shows strong favor in research basis of meat eating versus not meat eating. For every study which says something is bad, another will come along and say something is good. Most are survey, non-controlled studies which pit the average consumer meat eater against a healthy, we love animal vegetarian types. And obviously, they are going to win on average because those who are vegan or vegetarian usually care more about their health and food conditions. Someone who downs wings at Hooters is not likely to be in the same category as someone who is eating an Amy's non-cheese vegetarian vegan-friendly pizza. But for that matter, need I remind anyone the kind of pitfall carbohydrates are under right now, accused of everything that is bad in health left and right. So if you want to look at research, you can certainly see the cherry picking in that aspect towards carbohydrates, which certainly has no sort of animal tea to it. As for my claims that vegan and vegetarians need to be smarter, and this is all I have ever said, that they simply need to be smarter and watch for deficiencies. Vegan and vegetarians are at more risk for certain deficiencies and health risks due to removal of animal products from their diet. You can check with the doctors to see if their studies show the following. Vegan diet and vitamin A deficiency released in 2005. Severe vitamin deficiency in breastfed infancies of vegan mothers, 2005. Neurological consequences of vitamin B12 deficiency and its treatment, 2005. Vegetarian and vegans at most risk for low cerium intakes, 1997. Vitamin B12 deficiencies presenting in infants of vegetarian mothers, 2005. Health effects and vegan diets, 2009, all which look at deficiencies and imbalances of vegan and vegetarian diets. So my point is there is a direct link in lack of intake leading to deficiency. Because of this, vegan and vegetarians need to be more careful with their intake and make sure they have proper supplementation, which is what I've always said. It's funny how everyone misses what I'm giving a, like, watch your basis recommendation. I'm not attacking. And those are two different things. So if you see flaws and holes at me picking apart your, you know, stance, if you're making a stance on the health reason, then look at why you're vegan and vegetarian. I support it for moral and ethical issues. There's tons of positive benefits to having certain animal intakes. If we can just talk about fish oil and animal fats in general and the things that we see countless times in research study for their health, it's not going to be an easy, you know, black or white thing. There's always a middle ground, but something is always going to be bad to somebody. And, you know, you can decide what you eat based on morals for balance, and the rest you can let fall by. So I don't know. Click, click, boom.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah,
that's just that. There you go.
And that's why you go. You get a hold your, make a gum with your hand and hold it sideways. Go click, click, boom. Because you get to hold it sideways, you can't hold it. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. So there you go, Gary. Let us know if you have any, want to follow up on that. Feel free to shoot us an email, and we will get back to you.
Just to point out, N equals one is not evidence.
Yeah.
When you say, yeah, you know, just throwing that out there, guys. It's great that whatever stuff you're doing, and this has nothing to do with the question because I know jack all about any of this, so that's why Lee is here to make us all look smart, but by association. But it's wonderful. I mean, we get this all the time in any area of fitness or whatever, but just because whatever you're doing is apparently working for you, that's not evidence. It's just suggestive of what your possible response to something may be, and you don't even know that. So let's try to clean up the analyses, please. Just a little personal.
Well, no, it's a great point, and it, I guess it's just when you look at something like this, and it becomes a political debate, it becomes a moral debate, and it becomes across the board a very controversial kind of topic, and my side of it has always been, and it's funny because I go under fire for this so much, but my side of it has always been, I don't care if you're vegan or vegetarian, and I've never said you can't make gains on a vegan or vegetarian diet. All I've ever simply said is that the evidence for support of it for health and any sort of superiority, I'm not seeing in research. I can understand the anecdotal arguments, but the simple truth of it is that there's nothing to be high and mighty about, and there's tons of conflicting evidence in which that you don't have this vegan and vegetarianism, we're healthier, we're better, it's the right way to go. VI health. To me, it is a moral issue. It is a moral and ethical issue, and I think that there's just too much bending of research to try and get the point across, and too much bastardizing of meat and meat eaters and things like that. And if you pick out the right research, you can present it, and you can totally have a good argument. And it's not that I can't understand how you can't come at it from that side, but I think that you're only going to get there by cherry picking. And time and time again, it's like, John, you always say with the rock, where's the big rock? And the big rock has always been balance in diet, not excess of anything. And if you look at that, it can fit with vegetarian and veganism. It can fit with, eating animal products. It can fit with all that. And I think just focus on that and leave the minutia to people who actually read the research and want to discuss these things. And I don't know. I find it, obviously I get worked up, and I can't believe you called me out on writing my response. Yeah.
And here's the thing. And here's the example. here's the example too. So let's say all this is true. Let's say that they do research and studies, and they find out that that vegan diets are healthier than meat-eating diets. The problem is, we still don't know if that's the answer, because there's nothing that shows direct cause. It's all correlation. What if we find out that it's not really the vegan diet at all, but it's just the reduction of calories, because there's evidence to suggest that reduced caloric diets over time are healthier than overeating. And being a vegan is going to be, your diets are just going to be, lower calorie almost by definition, because to make up the amount of calories that you would in a more, balanced in terms of meats and whatever. What if that's the answer? So what if you're actually – they find out later on that, ooh, the vegan diets are actually worse when we compare caloric intakes, and that you were actually unhealthy, but you were just still ahead of the curve because you were eating less. That's the point. We don't have the answers. So people that claim that these things are healthier, it may not actually be what you're doing. It may be something that you haven't even considered. All the people, we've talked about this time and time before. We talk about different exercise programs and people saying, oh, well, this program is the best. It's the only thing that helped me to lose weight. You don't know that because you haven't performed a study. That's the purpose of studies, to try to minimize everything else except for the one variable that we're discussing. So when you take this N equals one self-assessment and you say, this has got to be the answer, you have no idea. Maybe the crappy workout that you're doing burned fewer calories than anything else you had done before, and the fact that you're under eating chronically, that's what helped you, because you actually did less and less was more this time. So it wasn't the workout that was great. It was just the fact that everything else in your life is screwed up. It was this part that took care of everything. So, it's not to say that you should not experiment, or you should just listen blindly to what people are telling you, but consider the fact that you may not be seeing the bigger picture when you decide that you hold the keys to the castle and you know what's right and everyone else is screwed up.
Speaking of the castle, how about that reference to the rock?
Yeah, I like that.
It's time to go back to the rock. And all right, we're gonna hit two real quick emails, and then we're gonna wrap up the mailbag, and then I think we already talked to Dose, but if we didn't talk to Dose already, then we're gonna talk to him. I don't know how I'm gonna organize it. Just two quick ones. First from Rob. Kevin, just a word of encouragement to you and Jonathan, and maybe Lee, to keep the Fitcast going. I'm sure it is a struggle at times to continue, sometimes I can hear it in your voice, but preserve knowing that we are listening and telling others about the Fitcast. I like to know where is an article about how to pick a good fitness coach, personal trainer, etc. Mm-hmm. I'm all ears with your podcast. All the best, Rob. 54 years old, lifting for 35 years, but getting a little tired. Okay, quick hits. John, you tired?
I'm exhausted.
Okay, whatever.
Probably because I got no sleep.
Shut up, John. All right, yeah. So that's one. Pick up a good article. Leap Heel, we've mentioned in the past. Leap Heel, leaphill.com, has a great article on how to picking a trainer. But I think you should check that out. I will see if I can get that link from Lee, and I will post that in the show notes. We talked about that in the past as well. And last but not least, if you're getting tired, Rob, all I'm going to ask you to do, I don't know if you like rap, and this isn't really rap, but if you want to pick up, it's an older track, but it's called Victory by Puff Daddy and the Family. You get a little Busta Bust, you get a little bit, you get Biggie in there, you got Sean Puffy Combs. You put that in, you know, turn up a little bit. And you know, trust me, you'll get the blood flowing a little bit. It's something that will definitely get you pumped up. Also, I may also recommend the Eminem song from his movie 8 Mile. It's like, you know, one shot, one opportunity, that kind of thing. That was good. And you know, sad, you know, in the news, Brittany Murphy died. We didn't talk about that last week, but that's sad. All right, last one. Anecdote. Last one. Kevin, I just stumbled upon your show site episodes. Social rep. What does that mean? Have you ever done a top 10 favorite episodes recommendation, or do you have a record of which ones have been downloaded the most? I want to learn more and enjoy the first two episodes I listened to already, but 160 is not quite in the time budget. I'll look for entertaining value, good mix of fitness and nutrition info, that kind of thing. Thanks, Steve from Detroit. That's how he wrote it. So it's just like the Pistons, you know, when they like Detroit. Yeah, Detroit sucks now. So at least their Pistons do. But Steve, that is a great idea. And you know what? That is going to be the topic of the blog post this upcoming Tuesday on thefitcast.com. It's already written. You know, if, in the meantime, if you. Anything with Mike Robertson in it is very good. And you know, if you want to, you know, there's some other good stuff out there. And don't forget, you got Lee Peel's podcast, and Mike does a podcast, and the Strength Coach podcast. There's tons of great stuff out there for Fitcast stuff. Some of my personal favorites, not necessarily the most downloaded ones, but my personal favorites. Anytime you hear Dan John speak, you will get motivated, and you will have, you know, that much you know, more motivation to hit the gym a little bit harder. It will make you, you know, another blog I got to finish writing this week is just the review of the last two DVDs. But you know, in his DVDs, like, it's just like, you know, break that stuff down. Like, he just breaks that stuff down. It's incredibly simple to understand. He's like, yeah, this it works, so we do it. You know, we get results, so we do this. It makes sense, so we do this. Definitely check that stuff out. Always very inspirational stuff. Dave Tate, kind of inspirational. A little bit more F's and S's when it comes to the swearing, but we do keep in mind those are explicit, so if you're going to listen to them in front of your children, I wouldn't do that. Also... I think those are my favorite. I like Tom when Tom Venuto comes on, and just most recently when Nick Tumanello's come on. Nick Tumanello is a good, interesting guy to talk to. It's always good, good, interesting stuff coming from him. So I'll have that up, and you know what? I'll do it two ways. I'll do. I'm not going to do my top 10 favorite personally. I will do the top 10 most downloaded episodes of all time, and I actually know what like the top three are off the top of my head because it's just like redonkulous.
Donkulous.
Donkey.
So, yeah, that's it. We're going to wrap it up. Don't forget, before we go, to check out the podcast on iTunes. Please submit a review while you're there. Subscribe to Mike's podcast and to Lee's podcast as well. I'm pretty sure if you like what we're talking about today, you will like those. And if you have some extra time on the bus or in the car, you might as well fill it up with some awesome information. And you can check out John's site if you want.
If you want.
I mean, he's got a blog, but he doesn't do anything with it. But, I mean, more importantly, go to Lee Peel's site at leepeel.com.
Send her hate mail.
Send her some hate mail.
About vegans.
Yep.
Dude, all I eat is nuts, nuts and beans. I don't know where I was going. I'm tired. I'm on like 6 hours of sleep. I was up playing a video game episode, all night. And then I had
episode 162. Kevin comes out to the FitCast.
Episode 162.
Oh God.
All that 50 Cent, Kevin.
Are we gonna really leave that in?
Yeah, I think so.
You are. Yeah, you are. If you leave my pick up the phone thing in, you better.
No, but you got to sing it right now, Lee. You got to sing it right now for everyone so we can put it in the main show. How did it go? No, Lee, you got to do it.
Do I have to do the whole thing?
And now, Lee Peel at 2 a.m.
Everyone else mute. Everyone else mute.
Okay. You don't have to be alone tonight. Just call me. Pick up the phone, and that's how we'll end it. Click, click, boom. Click, click, boom.
That was
God,
great.
All right, huge thank you to Mike Robertson from RobertsonTrainingSystems.com for coming on the show and talking some shop with us. And Mike, anything you want to give people a heads up for? Hopefully by now they've already picked up Assessing Correct.
By Assessing Correct.
I would hope so. But Excellent. As always, thanks for having me on, guys. It's always fun.
What's this thing about a new DVD?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll just have to bring me back at some point in time. I'll tell you about that.
No teaser trailer?
Huh?
No teaser trailer?
No teaser trailer. Just, it's in the works.
It's like, first there was Biggie and Puff Daddy, then there was 50 Cent and Eminem, then there was Mike Robinson talking about inserts. Mm. Okay.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, this is an interesting show, folks.
Two epic fails in a row.
Thanks for listening, and hopefully you didn't hit unsubscribe and delete from iTunes. Take care, and we will see you next time. That was a weird ending. Actually, John, do you want to...
Yeah, you didn't let John get the last word.
Yeah, John. First, John, Pink Dumbbell Award, and then last word.
Oh, Pink Dumbbell Award. Duh, that was the vegan question. Duh.
For real?
Yeah, man. That produced like epic awesome.
All right, and John, last words.
Thank you.
Come on, the situation, John. Give us some Jersey. Take us out with some Jersey, baby.
Listen, if you're gonna, you better be in the gym for now because I'm an hour and a half. But I want you to know that the situation is assessing correct. Before I do any curls or shrugs, I assess. And I correct. And you should too. And that's the word from the situation. Yeah, baby.
Oh my gosh, that's going on my website.
Dude,
that's a testimonial.
If ever, yeah, exactly.
the best audio testimonial. Hey, John, do you think you could do the chin strap? You think you could pull a chin strap off and do that?
Oh, John
video?
Could rock a chin strap.
Definitely
rock. Pictures I've seen. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before I do any curls for the girls, I'm doing inverted Ys.
Oh my goodness.
Ice T's and Ys before the Ys.
That's a post workout go ghoul. Alright, John, is that it?
I was teasing wise before the buys. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, welcome to the off-topic discussion for episode 162. I got Jonathan Fast, Lead Beal, and special guest star Mike Robertson with us. What's up, everyone?
Guest star.
Yeah,
that's high billing.
Yeah, well, you know how we're all, dude. Ooh, you know what we should do at some point? We should roll back to the very beginning of the football season. We could talk about our preseason comments.
Oh, did we do that?
No, we haven't, but we should. You remember that guy that was emailing us that was talking about how epic that off-topic was? I'm pretty sure I said the Colts were going to have a good year.
Oh, did you say that they were going to throw a game?
Yeah, no, I didn't say that.
Oh, then your prediction was wrong.
Look, dude, look. Let me just get this out of the way now. Every person that's not Bill Polian is pissed about that, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there. No, I didn't go to the game. Every person that is not Bill Polian, including the players, is pissed. Telling you, look at those players, dude. They took the company line, but they were pissed.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was mean mugging. He had his helmet on. He was frowning the whole time. He said the right things. Good on him, but he was pissed. Reggie Wayne, pissed. Reggie Wayne's from the U. They invented swagger.
That's
Reggie Wayne's from the U. They invented swagger.
That's, you know, it's it, you know, people are just going to say, you know, they're just not, there hasn't been a better regular season team than the 2007 New England Patriots.
This is true. I can't argue with that. Even this year, if we would have gone undefeated, I still couldn't argue that. Because I remember that year, dude, you guys were smoking boys, like, bad. Like, just blowout after blowout.
It's like, yo, Randy, you want another touchdown? All right, I'm going to hook you up.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Let's pad that record.
Yeah, I've never seen an offensive juggernaut. That's the best way to put that. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mike, so we've actually gone to outlining our off-topic a little bit.
I saw that. I'm impressed. You guys are, like, really putting this thing together. Yeah. You are stepping your game up, dude.
We are. And, you know, one thing I want to quickly talk about, and I was talking about, you know, I don't – we talk about video games on the off-topic, and John just beat Batman, and I – had this really weird thing yesterday. You know, we woke up, there was a crap ton of snow outside, went and shoveled, came back in, went back out and shoveled again, then around like 3 o'clock, like, yeah, we're just gonna let it, you know, pile up overnight and then we'll hit it again in the morning. So I was watching some videos and some stuff, like, it's the end of the year, so they're doing, like, you know, game of the year stuff, and I saw this game, Silent Hill Shattered Memories for the Wii, and I haven't turned on my Wii in like 6 months, and I went out to Target and I picked up a copy, came home, and I beat it that night. And I've never done that before. I never sit down there and I never play a game for more than half an hour. Like, you will, like, I'm sure, Mike, you see me, like, I will pop up on Xbox Live and then I will, like, be gone in like 20 minutes because I'll, you know, do some work and then I'll go play a game for 20 minutes. Like, I'll play one round of Call of Duty. Then I'm like, yep, okay, that's all I really need. I don't have the attention span. I sat in that chair and I got up once to eat and once to pee. And in 6 hours, I beat that game.
Wow.
It was it was fantastic. If anyone has a Wii and you like mystery stuff, like adventure stuff, like, you literally, it's so cool. Like, you know, you use that speaker in the Wiimote and you put it up to your ear to, like, make phone calls or to, like, listen to voicemails and stuff like that you're getting. And it sounds, you know, it sounds stupid, but it sounds
that's
just
crazy.
Like a cell phone. And
that's crazy.
It's like, if you guys want, like, a Wii game to pick it up, and it does, like, a psychological evaluation before you play, and the game changes completely depending on how you look at things in the game. Like, if you, like, the one thing, like, it gives you this questionnaire, and it'll ask you a bunch of questions, like 10 questions. And, you know, based on how you answer those questions, that's how it's going to kind of build up the first chapter of the game. And depending on how you interact with things in that first chapter, that's how it's going to build the second chapter. So for some reason, all the images, like, there'd be posters on the wall. Like, if you're walking through the city, there's posters on the wall. And this, for some reason, there was, like, you know, scantily clad women all over the place. The cop that was the cop that's one of the main characters, like, had this low cut, like, not a a cop's uniform, like, with tons of cleavage hanging out, and, like, her hair up, like, totally doing this, like, you know, like
bad cop thing.
Yeah, totally. And you know, you're like, wow, that's not how a cop dresses. And, like, in this the video thing that I saw, she didn't even look like that. She was dressed as, like, a standard cop, like, very, you know, prudent and, you know, nonchalant. I don't know if that's right. But she's not flaunting anything.
Non-assuming.
And for some reason, like, you know, there seems to be, like, you're basically going to have, like, sex with all these women that you come into contact with based on how I answered my questionnaire for some reason. So, and, like, they'll even ask you questions, like, you know, have you ever cheated on someone? You know, what would you rather do? Would you rather be with family or friends? You know, they literally, like, straight up ask you, like, really personal questions. So I don't know if this is something you want to play. If you want to play it honestly, I don't know if you want to play it with, like, yeah, a friend in the room, or, you know, a partner. But, like, you know, I started, like, checking this out online, and, you know, like, the game plays, like, five completely different ways depending on how you interact with things. And even as something as simple as looking like you're really getting interviewed by this psychologist, and if you look at the alcohol in his office, like, the game completely changes, and then you'll start seeing everyone offering you alcohol in your flashbacks. Like, it's like very it's one of the most different things that I've ever seen, and it's you don't shoot anything, like, there's action in it where you're running from stuff, but other than that, like, if you guys want to check something out that's, like, completely different, you know, will kind of scare the crap out of you and it will make you think, definitely check that out. It's it's, like, sold out everywhere now. Like, I don't know why, but
what game? What's the name?
Silent Hill Shattered Memories. It has nothing to do with the previous Silent Hill games.
Huh. It reminds me of, there's this movie, if you guys haven't seen it, and you like mystery-type movies, it's called The Game, and it sounds kind of like this game.
Oh, Michael Douglas?
Yeah, have you seen
that? Oh, yeah, so good.
Lee or John, have you guys seen that movie?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh, you gotta go see it. It's so good. Kevin, is it not good?
It's really good. It's just like the, you know, what was it, like, his son buys him...
He buys him the game for his... And basically, they put him through all this extensive testing, and then basically the entire game turns into his life. I don't want to give it away, but if you guys want to see, like, a really good movie and you always are, like, a step behind, check it out, The Game. It's awesome.
And if you want a game, check out Silent Hill.
It's really good. You getting, like, kickbacks from Nintendo now or something?
No, I don't own a Nintendo Wii game. All we have is Wii Sports. I don't even own a game. Like, that's the first game that I've purchased in probably, like, a year.
You don't own Mario Kart?
No.
Dude, my nieces have Mario Kart. So anytime I go over to hang out with them for, like, Thanksgiving or
Christmas...
Just beat the
crap out of them in Mario Kart? You're like, yeah,
whatever, dude. Click, click, boom.
Click, click, boom. Here comes that blue shell.
Oh, watch out for that banana peel.
I can see you being, like, so sinister, being like, oh, you know, I'm blocking your face so you can't see the card. No,
it's all good.
I'm an adult. Your parents won't believe you.
That's right.
Yeah, but that man, that's like definitely. You know, I think John, we talked about how cool Batman was as an experience, but you know, that is definitely something that's completely different. It is not your father's you know, video
Silent
game.
Hill.
Silent Hill. Yeah, and there's, like, this huge mind F at the end. And I will that's all I'm going to say. But at the end, you're going to be like, holy F, like, click, click, boom.
Yeah.
That's what happens to your head.
Wow. That's epic.
Lee, you been playing anything good?
No, I haven't. I've been, like, bedridden all week. So, and, like, I'm upstairs, and I don't have a video game thing upstairs. So that's why. Literally going downstairs is too much effort.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I haven't played anything. I've just been doing that thing where I watch weird things on TV when I'm sick.
You've been watching like
a complete marathon of like Cheaters on G4 or Jeez. Bully Beatdown, which is fun. That's like my favorite show ever now. Have you seen that?
It's from on MTV, right?
Yeah, where like they put a bully against an MMA fighter.
Oh yeah.
Just beat the crap out of him.
It's the best thing ever. It makes me so happy. Yeah.
Mike, who's the host of that? That's
I have no idea.
Can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name right now either. He has the craziest laugh known to man.
Yeah.
But yeah, that and Beverly Hills 90210 reruns. Particularly,
my sister's watching that right
David
now.
David gets hooked on meth because that's like the really. I love it when one of the characters has a drug problem.
Which one's David? Who's he played by?
Brian Austin Green.
Oh, did I tell you the story I didn't see Brian Austin Green, although he's great in Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, which I picked up second season on Blu-ray last week. But who's the blonde hair dude?
Steve.
Yeah, him and his super hot girlfriend were at Gold's Gym in Venice. That was awesome. Huh. Mostly his girlfriend.
Hey, speaking of just crazy TV shows, even though I know this is not on the off-topic agenda.
Do it, man.
Have you guys seen, I'm addicted. My wife and I are addicted to A&E shows right now. So, like, have you seen The Intervention or The Hoarders show?
Oh, Intervention. Yeah, we watched a lot of that in college.
Oh, my gosh, dude. This chick the other day was, like, injecting heroin into her neck.
Like, what?
Yeah, dude. She couldn't find a vein, like, anywhere in her body, so she had to inject straight into her neck.
Gah.
And then on The Hoarders show, which we watched last night, this one chick didn't have heat or running water for 2 years in her house. Her house was so full of stuff, she was just like wearing like old person diapers and just throwing them in the bathroom. God. It was so bad it rotted through the floor, dude.
She was saving the diapers?
Yes, the diapers. She wouldn't throw them away. She was just throwing them in the bathroom.
I mean, you might want to reuse them, so.
Dude, they were piled up. Like, they had this guy go in basically in, like, a hazmat suit. And I'm not kidding. This guy was, like, up to his, like, chest, his torso. And he was just with a shovel trying to get these things out. It was the nastiest thing I think I've ever seen.
Was it giving off, like, rads? And so the guy had to put on a radiation suit?
He didn't have a radiation suit on, like, dude. But he had, like a face mask and, like, you know, like, the huge boots that, like, come up to your knees.
Damn.
Wow.
I haven't seen Hoarders yet. Haven't seen that yet.
We watched it on demand last night because there was nothing else on, and it was, wow, it was shocking to say the least.
I wonder if Mike Boyle, was kind of wondering why we used that name for the title last week.
Yeah,
the Danny
Has he ever
Tanner.
Seen it?
No, well, we used we talked about Jersey Shore last week.
Oh, fist bumping like champs.
Yeah, fight the beat back.
Oh my God, you guys are actually watching that.
I DVR it. Damn right. You're damn right.
Am I missing something? Should I really watch this show?
It's pretty much
I think it's
epic.
On demand, so I can...
You can't beat this show, seriously.
Guaranteed fail in every episode.
No, really.
Did you see... I saw that Snooki got punched in the face online, but that's about it.
Yeah. I saw it before they took the clip out. And I actually think they should have left it in.
You got a bootleg clip?
Yeah, they're everywhere. I'm sure you could find it.
Ira Bay.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
We do not support or condone piracy.
What was I going to say? Oh, you guys remember how I had the beard project like a month ago? And I was growing that beard. And I had never grown like that much facial hair in my entire life collectively. So I did a Google search on how to shave a beard the right way because I didn't want to just come out like, you know, murdered. And one of the things when you Google something about shaving a beard was how to grow a chin strap beard. And that made me think of Jersey Shore, you know?
Awesome.
How to grow the chin strap.
Yo, I'm going to get so many girls with this chin strap that I got going, man.
Oh my God, if you type in chin strap beard is the first thing that pops up on the screen. I don't know what this is. God. People actually wear this?
Chin strap plus blowout, dude, and you're
Oh, the blowout.
You're living life.
What do you, so you use like a ruler or some kind of, you know, piece of geometry class equipment to make these things?
I just use a razor.
Well, look at these, like, if you go to these things, it's like these designs where people got, like, octagons in their face.
So me and the situation, you know what I'm saying? We're going to parlay, you know, a little bit. We're going to talk to these girls, you know what I mean? We're going to get them into that hot tub. You know, we're going to do whatever, you know, because, you know, and whatever, because that's what you're here for.
I love how you're from New Jersey, John.
It's like in his DNA. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just waiting to come out. It's very much like, you know, it's the Incredible Hulk.
Except all the guys that are on it are from Staten Island. Not even
still
from Jersey.
Still drinking the same water. Still drinking the same water.
Yeah, God. Yeah, the Hudson.
Right there.
Have any of them brought up protein powder?
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, in their intros, they definitely. And then they had the day that they went to the gym.
They went to the gym?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of course.
Dude, I got to get
what
on this.
What episode was this?
Oh, my God.
This sounds like a blog post waiting to happen.
Look, you better be in the gym, you know, for like at least an hour.
At least an hour,
you know,
yeah.
I'm in the gym for like at least an hour and a half, you know what I'm saying?
When
I look at my shirt, I look like Rambo. That's the situation right there.
That's the situation. Yo, these abs right here, that's the situation right there.
Does he start with, like, a, you know, a pretty thorough foam rolling and mobility warm-up?
Yeah. And he goes into some dynamic activity and then some...
Like, first, you know, we're going to do some CNS activation.
Oh wow!
That's my Jersey Shore.
I like how yours kind of sounded like a Fat Albert character. That was nice.
I've identified a number of muscle dysfunctions that I will attempt to improve on with my dynamic warm up and activation drills, and then we're gonna go into some and then it's all deadlifts all day because that's the situation.
Is he coming out with a DVD like Situational Mobility?
No, he is actually in the process of doing a workout video.
Oh, come on. You got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding. Real? I'm not kidding. He said it on Conan.
Oh, good for him. I swear, good for him.
Yeah.
Dude, you got to do a delt day. Definitely a delt day.
Oh,
I think we should just talk about that the whole show. We could do an hour about this.
Right here, I'm going to do some shrugs for my anterior trapezoid. Because, you know...
then you see him, like, break it down. Like, he gets, like, dead serious, and he's like, wow, dude, this guy knows what he's talking about. So here's one I learned from my friend Michael Boyle. Just throwing out names. I would love to just talk to this dude. If we could get him on the podcast. What's his name?
Like, Mike the Situation.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Does he have a website?
Just Google. Of course he does.
Yeah, Google Mike the Situation. It'll pop up.
He's the only one from Jersey.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
From Staten Island.
You see these
abs?
Oh,
he has a sensitive side. But he has plenty of game to go with it. He knows what he wants from his summer at the Jersey Shore and is not going to let anything stop him from getting it, even his roommates. The way he sees it, he has the situation under control. Get it? See what they did there?
Yeah, I see what you did. You know what's great? when Snooki got cracked over the head by that guy, like, the next episode, they're, like, going back and, like, you know, kind of evaluating the situation, and the situation is standing there like hitting
standing
on girls
like,
while she's like on the floor. At least, you know, what they made it out to look like is like she's like rolling on the floor, like, you know, they're pulling the guy out of the bar, and Mike is like,
and he's creeping.
Hey, listen, you know what? No, don't worry about that. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe if you want to, you know, I don't want to stop this conversation, you know what I mean? I think we're getting close.
To what?
You know, I'm just saying, you know, if I get your number, you come back to the hot tub, you know, I mean, we have a good time.
You have to love the kind of guy in which that his constant, like, MO with the girl is like, no, you serious, right? You ain't faking me, right?
No, you're so...
You better come back for real, right?
God, I'm gonna watch this.
Yo, you're so beautiful, I'm going to buy you lunch and effing dinner. You know what I'm saying? You're like a classy lady. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really want to, like, you know, spend some time with you.
I'm going to buy you lunch and dinner.
And dinner. Yeah, that was his line. I was dying. It's like, good for you, pal.
Wow. Yeah, no, this is going to be another Jersey Shore themed episode.
It's hysterical because, like, every episode, like, he'll try to get with the girls or whatever, and then they'll leave.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be, like, in his bed, and then, like, and then, like,
girl, I gotta go. Yeah. Like, what, girl, you on your period? Yeah, I gotta go.
What?
Yeah.
She calls him out.
Oh, is it funny?
That's hilarious.
Wow, this is, yep.
See, but that's way not gangster enough.
That's coming from my phone, that's why.
But it's rock music. It needs to be like hip hop somehow.
Is there a click click song that from Fitty?
I'm sure they're very partial to Lady Gaga on Jersey Shore.
Oh, what is up with her too? Like that's something that we play a lot.
Yo, it's just like, I gotta fight the beat back, you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll get there without fist pumping, you know what I mean? And it's just like, you just gotta fight that beat.
Did he go fists up and down in front of his face?
Yeah, they pump. They
like
even talked about fist pumping.
They on the floor? I mean,
the one guy is funny, this guy Vinny, who's like barely on the show because he's almost like normal, so he's not interesting. He's just kind of normal. He's like, but he was talking about, he's like, hey, you know, if I go dancing or whatever, like, you know, it's very possible my fist might fly in such a way that it looks like it's pumping.
God, you guys are like great.
It was hysterical.
I would totally hang out with these people.
Oh, definitely.
Does any of them say gabagool?
You know what?
I'm sure.
Did
I'm
you
just
say
sure
gabagool?
Well, it was funny.
I don't even know what that is, but I've seen it on like a Mad TV skit of that show.
I'm going to make a little tortellini, a little gabagool.
Where's my gabagool?
Where's my gabagool?
What was that show? I can't even remember. The Sopranos thing.
Yeah.
All right. What are we coming up? We're coming up on a 22-minute off-topic.
So you know what? That's good.
Yeah, I think we'll end it on that. All right.